T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome back to Overnight America. And this hour, I got a couple of things for you. My wife and I, well, this is interesting. There was something we've talked about in the past, and I might want to run it by people in the listening audience who's ever fostered children. I got a question for you. We're going to get to that. Plus, yeah, Father's Day. And got a couple good Father's Day style jokes. Dad jokes are the best, aren't they? We're going to get to some of those too. And O.J. Simpson's back on Twitter, kind of, I guess. The thing that surprised me the most is how often he's consumed. Like, who's going to be listening to O.J. Simpson? So we're going to get to some of that too. But first, Jim's been holding on from Columbia. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on? So you're the one that emailed me that email.
Yeah, Jim. Ryan, sorry.
Yeah.
You're the best thing that's happened to late night radio on Camwick since Jim White. I tell you what, it is the truth.
I love being here, so thank you.
Yeah. You connect with the callers in an expert way. What I was calling about, you know, I sent that email to you, but I also put it on Facebook in a different way and got quite a few responses. Mm-hmm. And I've been called judgmental many times, but I don't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. Because when you have an opinion, when does that opinion become judgmental? I don't know. But some people right away say you're judgmental. Mm-hmm. Now, they talk about all the alcohol that was being drunk, and they want to blame it on alcohol for what a couple of the blues players said mm-hmm. over a loud microphone to 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is, you can drink all you want, and you can get intoxicated, but still, if you've got half a mind about you still, mm-hmm. you're gonna say a word like that, and it's the truth of the way you talk. But to use that word when there's so many kids out there, mm-hmm. and I know they've heard it before, but we heard it on the TV. I was watching it, my wife and I, mm-hmm. and did he say that? Did he really say that? And the player after him said it also. Yeah. So I backed up the TV. Sure enough, he said that.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess you could say it's a reflection on the player if they use that type of language or whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, if they're out there using that, I'm sure that's not a concern to them personally, per se.
And you know what? I agree with the previous caller. He said he wouldn't think that he'd ever hear the Cardinals players talk like that. And I have never heard them talk like that either, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a good point. If you go back to the last Cardinals World Series parade and you see the way they conducted themselves, it would be a little bit different.
But hockey's a tough game, and it takes a tough guy to play that game. There's no doubt about it.
It does. There was, I guess when it comes to take your kids downtown, it's almost like you can take your kids to certain things. Like it's a different atmosphere. Even though, let's say for example, you go catch a game at Enterprise Center or at Busch Stadium versus a bar, right? So even though both sell alcohol, there's different expectations of what you're going to find when you get there at the ballpark versus a bar.
Like right.
I think you got to know these things if you're going to go into one of these parade situations, or you're going to be around a bunch of people doing this sort of thing. I think you kind of have this expectation you're going to see it. You can say it reflects on the players. I understand that. That's just their thing, though. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Obviously.
And by the way, I'm the same guy that sent you the audio for the my 5 seconds on the local TV down in Carbondale when I was at the Trump rally.
I remember that. Yeah. That TV news clip. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, I just said what I felt right off the bat. But anyway, I hope you had a happy Father's Day.
Yes, I did.
And man, welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great night.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Yeah, back when President Trump made a stop in Illinois, there was a reaction from some of the people that were there. And Jim was one of those people. I remember he sent me a link to the news video, like the news, local news channel did like a video package on it for their evening news. And he was on it, interviewed by them, you know, talking about how great of a speech it was. So that was kind of cool. I remember that. That was had to have been 2 years ago. Wow. There's a text message that came through. Let's see. These swear words didn't offend me in the least, and I'm Christian. Hockey guys are a different breed and much tougher than our dear baseball players. Can't wait for a new season to start. That's signed Stephanie, who texted that in. Okay, so you're going to take a shot at baseball players. See, I don't know. I don't know. I just tell you, just in general, you just stay away from these things. You just separate yourself from those sort of things when you have kids, and you don't want to expose them to those things, which I don't want to personally, which that's, I think, what you end up doing for almost every situation. All right, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Kevin Killeen did a great whole nother story on Father's Day, plus I got a couple of good Father's Day jokes for you. Oh, do you like a good dad joke? I hope you do. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Hey, happy Father's Day to you. Let me tell you how I spent my Father's Day. I wanted to basically get a pizza with whatever I wanted on it and be left alone, right? Just do whatever I want. So instead, I pretty much just ate whatever I wanted, but the family and I stayed together for Father's Day, which was nice. And after church, went to Mod's Pizza, where you make your own, like, personal pizza, which was kind of a nice compromise, so I got whatever I wanted on there. And then afterwards, got some ice cream and stuffed it in. Basically, didn't want to eat dinner because I had so much ice cream. Oh, it was just wonderful. Well, frozen custard, of course. But man, was that good. And that was a nice, pleasant Father's Day. On Saturday, we went to a coffee shop. I was watching the parade, and man, the parade seemed like it was lasting forever. So it went a little longer than I thought. So I started listening to it on the radio when I was in the car at KMOX.com. Wanted to check out a new coffee shop, which was nice. Took the family. You know, the kid gets a hot chocolate. I get try a different type of flavored coffee or something, and it was enjoyable. Really enjoyed it. And of course, ice cream. Yes, lots of ice cream. I loved this morning at church when someone said that they had ice cream cake for breakfast. It's only the one time a year he's allowed to do that, but ice cream cake for breakfast is a wonderful thing to do or say, or I guess to enjoy. Kevin Killeen did a great Father's Day segment on A Whole Nother Story.
All right, this lady is filling up her car.
Hey, y'all.
What about your dad?
I love my dad. He's great. He's a great guy.
What's his number one saying that always rings in your ears and directs you?
You better get it together, girl. You say that all the time.
And I think of this myself. My dad pulled me back from the edge so many times that where would we be without our dads?
Honestly, I don't know where I would be without my dad because he has good guidance, instruction. Like, when you think of a father, he got that.
What about your dad? How has he shaped you to be the person you are today?
I think we both do pretty well with the ladies.
You and your dad?
Yeah.
You got that from him?
Yep, I believe I did.
I was real young when I lost my father.
What's the biggest piece of the puzzle you have of him that you remember?
He has a big heart.
Has that influenced you?
Yes.
How so?
In various ways.
Are you big-hearted?
Yes.
Can you pay for my lunch today?
No.
He was very quiet. He was a very quiet man, but he was very just, like treating people. He was actually a judge, and he's a retired judge, and like he was just so just in his like daily life.
Well, did you feel like you were in court when he would, you know, ask you questions? Did you do your homework or not?
Yeah, it was kind of, I guess, yeah.
Did you wear the black robe at those times?
No.
Did your dad influence you to be who you are today?
Yes.
How so?
I picked up a lot of his focus on what it takes to be successful in life and focus on how good character is what you need to get further and meet better people, and also his skills like working with my hands and being a helping hand when people need me, things so, like that.
It sounds like your dad had a lot to do with who you are.
Yeah, he did. He did. I'm a lot like my dad.
Father's Day always reminds me that we are not the self-made individuals we'd like to think we are. We are, to some extent, an echo of our dads. Well, the whole of the story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
We're an echo of our dads. That's something I didn't really think would ever happen to me. I never thought that one day I would be just like my dad. And they always said, oh, well, you'll be like your mom, you'll be like your dad, whatever it is. I find myself doing things, saying things that my dad would say. And it's almost weird because as soon as I say it, I recognize it. It's almost like in third person, I'm able to hear myself say it and think, that's exactly what my dad used to say. It happens all the time. It happens when I'm mostly interacting with my kid. You know, oh, don't do that, don't do it. Something like, he would always say stuff like that. And I, for the life of me, can't stop it. It just happens naturally. We are an echo. Man, that's the best way to put it, Kevin. Another great, whole nother story. So I had to find some dad jokes. You ever heard of a dad joke? They're basically really cheesy type of jokes, but they're kind of funny. If you have any good dad jokes, I'd love to hear them. Love to hear them. I have a list of them here. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. And maybe you want to talk about your dad. Maybe you can just want to say a few words on what your dad means to you, just like Kevin went out onto the street and did that too. I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear about your dad. All right, here's a couple of dad jokes. These are pretty good ones. Now, good is relative to other dad jokes. They're not necessarily great jokes per se. It's not like you'd be able to do stand up with something like this and make $1 million. So here's a dad joke for you. A guy says, I asked a guy in the store where the Terminator DVD was. He responded, I'll be back. See, it's an I'll be in the back. I'll be back. All right, here's another one. My dad really wanted me to make paper planes with him. Eventually, I folded. Today, I wished my dad a happy Father's Day. His response, thanks, son. I couldn't have done it without you. Oh, man. The weird thing with these jokes, they're all vaguely familiar. So you know it's a setup for something, and you're trying to figure out what the setup is before you hear it, but it's nearly impossible. All right. Here's another one. How did the farmer find his wife? He tracked her down. Tracked her down? Oh, I got fired from my job at the bank today. An old lady came in and asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over. All right. So a guy walks into a bookstore and asks the clerk for a book on turtles. Clerk says, hardback? Guy says, yeah. And their little heads pop in and out. Oh, book humor. My wife would like that one. I should tell that to her. What do you call 100 centipedes? A dollarpede. Is anyone laughing at these? I think they're funny. Come on. I got a whole nother list of them here. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going. If you got any better dad jokes, try me. At 436-7900. Said, I was wondering why music was coming from my printer. Apparently, the paper was jamming. Come on now. Why do keyboards never sleep? It's because they have two shifts. You know, two shifts, the shift keys, the shift. Where's Bobo when you need him? These are like perfect Bobo jokes. All right. My wife asked for a sharper knife. The other one just wasn't cutting it. All right, here's another one. I got hit in the head today with a Diet Coke, but don't worry, I'm not hurt. It was a soft drink. Oh, come on now. I see producer Ben's trying to set me up. Yeah, I saw you working over there. A lot of movement on the computer screen. I'm like, what's he up to? All right, how about this one? The waitress came over and saw my leftovers and asked, do you want a box for that? I responded, no, but we can arm wrestle. Do you want a box for that? All right, here's another one. Why is Batman in such a hurry? Because he's got to go to the bat room. I only got two more. Two more, that's it. Today my son asked, can I have a bookmark? And I burst into tears. 11 years old, and he still doesn't know my name is Brian. Bookmark. Can I have a bookmark? My name's not Mark. Okay, one last one. Of all the inventions of the last 100 years, the dry erase board has to be the most remarkable. Remarkable. Oh, come on now. Y'all serious? Y'all gonna give up on me now? After those, if you can't handle me in my worst dad jokes, you don't deserve me with my best dad jokes. Was that a dad joke? Nah, not really. Okay. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And to anyone that still has their father around, you know, make sure to send them a message. Maybe not right now. It's past midnight, but they're probably sleeping. So coming up, talking about families and fathers and whatnot. Has anyone ever fostered a kid? My wife and I, she wanted me to watch this movie called Instant Family. And one of the reasons why is because in her mom groups, they start talking about these movies that are, you know, about families. Now, I wanted to say, I don't know what this was rated. I mean, there were a couple swear words in it, but it wasn't, it was probably PG-13, I'm going to guess. But it was a movie basically where Mark Wahlberg and I forgot what the actress's name is, they consider fostering a child, and it shows in the movie the process they go through. And after this movie came out, apparently there was a big uptick in the interest in fostering. And there's a lot of foster kids out there, kids that don't have families, that they look for placement. And apparently when this movie came out, it was a big help to them because it got a realistic view at what you can expect. And I wanted to talk to you about that. I would love to talk to someone that's fostered children and hear your experience of it, because I want to know if this movie's accurate, if what they depict in this is actually what they, you know, what your experience was. So let me open up the phone lines again at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Maybe you are a foster child. You can tell me your experience, but if you've ever fostered kids, give me a call. I'd like to hear about it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back, yes. So there was a movie my wife wanted me to watch over the weekend. And I think she originally saw it with one of her friends in one of the moms groups she's in. So when it comes to like these family situations or these family dramas that are depicted in a realistic way, she's kind of interested in that. And it's a comedy, and it's got its nice moment. It's called Instant Family. I didn't exactly know what to expect from it. But Instant Family is a Mark Wahlberg movie, and I like Mark Wahlberg. And I watched it, and the idea is, you know, the movie you can go get at the library or whatever, and if I spoil this for you, I'm sorry. But so the whole idea is that Mark Wahlberg and his wife are thinking about children. They're renovating a house at the same time, and they go to an orientation about fostering children. And they go through this process, they go through the training, and then they go up into the point where basically there's like a picnic, and there's a bunch of like kids that need a foster family hanging out at this picnic. And you like pick out who you want, and then you can go meet them and foster them, perhaps, to adoption. I mean, foster to adopt is a pretty popular thing. You know, there's flat-out adoption, which is you might just go straight and know who, you know, you might know who the woman is or might not or whatever it is. You might just be flat-out trying to go to another country to adopt. And some people do fostering to adopt, which is you know, there's a lot of kids in the system right now that need a place to stay. They need that structure of the family, that's something they don't have. And they're looking for homes for placement. And then the goal is for you to adopt. Let it be. That's the path for some of these kids. So I watched this movie, and I'm curious how accurate it is. So I got questions. And if you've ever fostered children, or maybe you were a foster child, give me a call. I want to know what your experience was like. It's 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, you're invited to call. I would just like to hear your overall experience. Have you ever thought about it, and what stopped you from doing it? I'd like to know that too. You know, I found the movie trailer for Instant Family, kind of get an idea for it.
House, but what are you going to do with five bedrooms? You guys are obviously never having kids.
What was that look?
I did not do a look.
You're doing a look right now.
There's no look.
Have a good fight, guys.
You know, in all these movie trailers, they find these little clips, and it may be useless to listen to it over the radio, but there's a couple of parts I want you to hear.
There's so many kids in foster care, and they're having an orientation.
Ellie, people who take in foster kids are really special. The kind of people who volunteer when it's not even a holiday. We don't even volunteer on a holiday.
Over 500,000 children are currently in foster care.
Yeah, so they put that stat out there, and a lot of the statistics and the processes they use, they work with, you know, the national fostering organizations. So that's pretty accurate. Over 500,000 kids out there right now. That's kind of sad. And you think about some of these situations they're coming from, and they're going into this orientation. So they're in a room, and there might be about 20 of them there, and these couples, different couples, introduce themselves and why they're interested in fostering, and some leave, some stay. And they just want to get an idea of what to expect, and then they bring in someone, and, you know, they get all pumped up about it. Mark Wahlberg's like, why don't they call him? They said, you know, we adopted a dog. It was a rescue dog. Why don't you call them rescue kids? You might get more people interested if you called them rescue kids. That was funny. But I think the idea of this movie was to try to take some of the taboo away about the reservations that you would have of fostering. And they also want to take away some of the, you go into it thinking it's just going to be easy, but it's really not an easy thing. Like, they try to make sure the expectations are in check. And I checked it at the very end of the movie. They had a website address they gave out that led you to getting more information about fostering. And I remember when this movie was in the theaters, because we talked about it on this show, they talked about how this was like such a big deal for the fostering community, because it has never really been shown in this type of light. I mean, it's been shown before, but not in this realistic style where you got to, you know, you really, if you're going to talk about it, you might as well be realistic about it. Like, let's get real. And that's what this movie did.
The county puts these on because they can match a lot of kids and parents quickly.
Look at the big kids.
Everybody's avoiding them. I'm going to go and say hi.
But they're teenagers, okay? They use drugs and they watch people playing video games on YouTube. We're not equipped for any of that.
Hi! Just FYI, we can all hear you. It's okay. Go mingle with the kiddies and don't give it another thought. Bye-bye.
All right, so they talked, too, about how difficult it is to foster an older child. I actually was in a group with someone that would foster children, different age lengths, you know, they're young to teenagers. And when they go through this process, they make it look like all these kids have these very sophisticated headshots that they post up for you to look at. Not really. I mean, a lot of times you're scraping together to get a photo of some of these kids, which is a shame, you know. Sometimes, and this may sound pretty harsh and mean, but sometimes I'm shocked by the photos that are shared when there's things like Amber Alerts out there, when there's a missing child, and you look at these reports from the police and they show you a photo and you're like, is that the best photo? Don't you ever take photos of your kids? Like, if you were to look at my phone right now, or my wife's phone, I got 1,000 photos of my kid on there. No less than 1,000. My wife's even worse. You know, she's got to back up everything, and then she puts another 1,000 and back up another 1,000 and back up another 1,000. And it shocks me sometimes when I look at this and say, how in the world do you not have better photos of your kid? I mean, everyone's got a smartphone. So, yeah, it's kind of, I look at situations like that too. So they don't all have these professional headshots. So when we get to, when we get to that part and they're showing the teens, they talk about the difficulty some of the teenagers have because they have certain ways already set in. And I know that a lot of these kids are taken away from pretty terrible situations. Their parents may be in jail and, you know, no fault of the kid, but the fostering situation. They might get moved from home to home to home to home. And it's a really difficult situation, which plays on them in their mental well-being. And someone I knew from a club, I was part of the Optimist Club when I was in Indiana. And there was a woman inside of it, Loretta, who fostered kids for a long time. She said, you know, sometimes you get some really good kids and sometimes you get some really bad kids. She said sometimes the older ones would be into some really bad things. They'd run around with the wrong people. Once you get up into the certain age and you're to family and you have no structure, like there's no family structure whatsoever. You don't have a role model for so long. You don't have a father figure. You don't have anyone, right? You're just kind of like doing your own thing. You can get mixed up with the wrong people very, very quickly, right? I mean, the wrong people are there, open arms, ready to take you in because they can abuse and use you, you know, boy or girl. And then they get mixed up and then they get stuck in that, and it's very difficult to take them out of that. And she was telling me, you know, sometimes you'd have these kids that come in, they'd be some pretty dangerous kids. And there's, you just don't know. And yeah, she was confronted with that. They do talk about that reality in this movie, but they kind of downplay that. Like, oh, you're playing on other people's fears. I'm like, no, well, I actually met someone and she told me that's what happened. She said she's glad she did it, but that's exactly what would happen. So I don't know. I wonder how accurate these movies can be. And that's why I wanted to ask you about that. So I guess there's no foster. That's the sad thing. I mean, we could be talking to someone and they might not want to call in or share their experience, or we could be talking to no one. Personally, I've never met anyone outside of Loretta that's actually fostered. Like, I've never met anyone my age that is taking children in. So, you know, I'd be always curious about those things. Instant Family, it's out now. I think my wife got it from the library, if you had any interest in that, or just look up the website they give or whatever. Yeah, over 500,000 kids in the fostering system right now. Wow, that's something else. All right, up next, O.J. Simpson has created a Twitter account. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of weird, actually, the timing of it all. And I'm going to play you a couple of his messages. What shocks me the most is how fast the word of OJ on Twitter, like, just propagated all across the internet. This is Overnight America, KMOX. OJ Simpson decides to get a Twitter account. I don't know why. I don't know. Well, I have an idea why. So let's back up. He's on The Real OJ 32, and he cites a couple of things in his first message. If you had to guess how many people saw this first message, let me just play it for you, then I'll tell you the answer.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at The Real OJ 32, is the only official one. So, this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Okay. That's O.J. Simpson's first message, about 20 seconds long. It was seen by 10.5 million people, or at least 10.5 million times it was played. Really? So O.J. Simpson puts this message out there. He's only had two messages, and I have his other message to another video message. He decides to put it out on the 25th anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Of course, makes no mention of them, but he puts it out on that day. Why? Because it's the 25th anniversary and it started showing up in people's news feeds. People were writing articles. There's been a lot of documentaries on O.J. Simpson, and yeah, I absolutely believe he did it. And with that, when the news articles start to roll in, there's one of two things that either happen here. But the most likely thing, he thought, well, if I put this out there, less people will talk about the murders and going back 25 years to the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. So, hey, how about I just hop on Twitter and I'll put this video and then, you know, they'll look at me and they won't hear the stories about. Well, the thing is, of course, when people talked about this, the first thing they mentioned was, oh, isn't that weird? On the 25th anniversary of their murders, he decided to put this out. I mean, if you were to just try to say I guess one of the reasons would be you don't want other people out there pretending to be you. So you want to make sure you're the one that's putting your message out there. But I don't think that's the main reason why he's doing this. Simpson's attorney, Malcolm Laverge, told CNN, Mr. Simpson is the most positive person I've ever met. He's also very well informed on current events. He will not be negative, nor will his comment on the LA thing, and nor will he comment on the LA thing. It will be one of the most best accounts on Twitter to follow. Sorry, I'm reading that a little bit weird. So then he puts out this second message, which is Sunday.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they want to say about me with no accountability. But now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, Happy Father's Day, and God bless.
All right, and they cut the message off early. You can tell the audio quality is not that great. Let's see how many followers he has out of curiosity. That's the real OJ 32. Okay, so he is not... Okay, here's that message. He is not... oh, did he put another message out? No, he didn't. He just has the same message out twice. All right, so that message has 5.39 million views. Oh, how about that? He does have a new one out. You want to hear O.J. Simpson's new video? I haven't actually listened to this. But so far, he has 602,000 followers. He's only following eight people. I wonder who those eight people are. He's following the Buffalo Bills, the NFL, PGA Tour, USC football, Heisman Trophy, which I'm pretty sure he lost, his attorney, Justin Simpson, which I'm going to guess is a kid, and Tim Graham, which I don't know who Tim Graham is. But he shows a picture of him in a Buffalo Bills jersey in the stands watching a game or something when it's super cold out. All right, O.J. Simpson put a third video out. Now let's just play it. Why not? Hopefully he doesn't swear in it.
Hello, Twitter world. This is yours truly. You know, this is my first venture into the social media world, and it's amazing. You know, especially how quickly they can put up counterfeit sites. Anyway, we'll deal with that. My life has always been involved in the sports world, and I suspect as the weeks go on, that's pretty much what we'll be talking about. But once in a while, I'm going to go off topic and talk about something else. And this is one of those times, you know.
So before I even play what he's about to talk about, you want to guess what it is? I haven't actually heard this. I don't know. I'm just going to guess what he's going to talk about. I'm going to guess he's going to talk about being free, a life outside of jail. But let me tell you this. Does anyone really care what OJ thinks? Like, first, this tweet came out 4 hours ago. It already has over 1 million views. 1 million views. It goes to show you the celebrity power on social media, even if you're an OJ Simpson. You know, oh, I'm going to talk about politics, and I'm going to talk about fantasy football. Does anyone care what OJ thinks? I mean, outside of this segment, just talking about us not caring, this is going to be the only time we talk about OJ, really, as far as I know, unless he does something crazy.
Bob Kardashian, he's like a brother to me. He's a great guy. He met and married Chris, and they really had a terrific time together when they were together. Unfortunately, that ended. But never, and I want to stress, never in any way, shape, or form had I ever had any interest in Chris romantically, sexually, and I never got any indication that she had any interest in me. So all of these stories are just bogus, bad, you know, tasteless. Chloe, like all the girls, I'm very...
Wait, so he's talking about the Kardashians? Kris Jenner? What? All right, so that's one way to get popularity online. Go ahead and inject yourself into the Kardashian fame. Way to go. Well, keep in mind, a Kardashian, it helped him get off on the murder charges, so he does have a connection, at least in that sense. All right.
Very proud of, just like I know Bob would be if he was here, but the simple facts of the matter is she's not mine. Now, one of the people who's spreading this rumor is a guy that the media loves to say is my manager. I had one manager in my whole life, Chuck Barnes, when I came out of USC for 3 years. Unfortunately, he died about 45 years ago, but even before he died, I opened my own office.
It doesn't even care. This is stupid. This is all stupid. So he goes on and tried to address rumors that he probably started. I mean, let's be honest. He probably thought, oh, this will be a great way to get people to pay attention to me. I'm going to try to inject myself into the Kardashian fame. And it's actually really sad. It's kind of sad. I mean, it's weird that he's out of jail, and it's just sad in general. If you haven't seen a documentary about OJ, go ahead, watch one. I think ESPN did a great job on one just a couple of years back. Yes, and it is pretty graphic. They show pictures of the murder scene into it, and they lay out a pretty strong case of how O.J. got off when really there was a ton of evidence that was excluded because of the all-star lawyers that he hired. So, yes, O.J. Simpson on Twitter. Is it a thing? Yes. Should it be a thing? No. The sad thing is people are just going to eat this up. Is he trying to get a reality show? I mean, boy, I really want to get my political takes from O.J. Simpson. I can understand the fantasy football thing if he wants to talk about, you know, sports or whatever it is, because he used to be a sports commentator. He was a, you know, a running back, very popular and very good running back. And, you know, he was on commercials, he was in movies, he did all these things. So, I mean, people recognize who he is, but all of that means nothing because of what happened after that. Means nothing. All right, O.J. Simpson, he's logged on, I guess. Anyone can do it. Overnight America will continue in the next hour. And I got a couple of other things. We're going to class this place up. Interview from earlier from the week, and I thought that was pretty good. We didn't get a chance to replay this. It was on Thursday night. But we're going to talk to Jean-Pierre Esbaus and Dr. Christopher Brown. It's the 500th anniversary of the death of Leonardo da Vinci, and at his time, not appreciated at all. You know, it wasn't until after his death that he became appreciated. It's kind of fun to hear some of these stories of what you think of now one of the most popular artists of all time, but not even close when he was alive. And what are some of those things you do every day that no one does anymore? Like, if you're my age or older, you're going to look at this and say, yep, I remember doing that, but I haven't done that in a long time. That's coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.